The Magic Podcast, hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry, where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty.
And me, the Welsh sheep shagger, Lloyd Barnes.
I got to be honest with you, mate. I don't think people are going to fall for that. When you said that you were going to do an impression of Lloyd, I really thought that we'd go slightly better. Let's try it again.
Okay.
Channel your inner Barnes. Think whales, think sheep, think fucking sheep, think all of that.
Here we go. My sheep is right in front of me, nude.
Absolutely. Nude. Yeah, okay. Wiggling right, your bottom provocatively. Give me everything you've got. Welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty.
And me, the Welsh sheep shagger, Lloyd Bart.
Sorry, I just nutted in the sheep. My bad.
Okay, that was much better.
I tried to do a little delay on it too, because like I didn't want, you know, Lloyd's typical thing. You know, he doesn't pay attention when we've actually started. So let's go ahead, give it a few seconds, then act like I'm paying attention. It was a whole build up there, a lot of theory behind it.
It was good. For people that don't know, unfortunately, Lloyd is too busy to do the podcast this week. So I have in the official stand-in for the Magic Podcast, the one and only Tyler Lunsford from tylerlunsford.com. How you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing great, Craig. I'm happy to be here. It's your favorite cowboy magician back with another podcast.
Fucking love it. Absolutely amazing. So welcome back to the podcast. This is like your second podcast, isn't it, that you've done
it
now?
It is. I'm honored. The fact that, you know, you two have, honestly, the fact that you've never missed, like I had to really do anything like this except twice where you've had to have a stand in is honestly shocking.
I'd like to point out that both times it's Lloyd that's let the people down. and this time he's busy. Whilst I, in the last few days, have had multiple... I've been literally in hospital with a fucking infection when I was told by the doctors I was 24 hours away from, like, getting septus and going and being paralyzed. And still now I'm on fucking hardcore antibiotics and my leg could drop out of at any moment and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And I'm filming this where at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm taking my best fucking friend, my dog of 19 years, Anya, who I've loved more than anything else in the world, to the vets, because unfortunately she needs to get put down, and I've spent the entire day in tears because I love that dog more than my kids. True story. And even with all of that shit going on, I'm still here, but Lloyd is busy.
Yeah, fuck him.
nah, he's got a lot of workload at the moment, so I'm really glad that you could jump in, Tyler. I'm really glad.
Absolutely, me too. Yeah, I fully expect to turn on Magic TV after tomorrow and just see black walls everywhere.
It's gonna happen.
Pixel went and the black walls just straight up just came all over the. Oh, that was terrible phrasing. But yeah, you know,
that's what you do. I've learned from Lloyd that when you have a pet that dies, you paint your shit black. So that's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So post pictures on your Instagram. Lloyd won't even be able to see it because he doesn't check it. But yeah, we'll figure something out.
And you said you had the interesting intro to the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to read this out. If you want to let Lloyd Barnes do the intro ever, I wrote him a little script that he could do. So I basically typed in, this is why I typed in the ChatGPT. If anybody doesn't know what ChatGPT is, it's like one of the most popular AI tools right now to basically make whatever you want to. Kids are having them write their papers, write scripts for YouTube videos, give them ideas, all sorts of different things. I even created a magic trick, just having an idea from it.
Wow.
But I typed in write me a podcast episode intro for the Magic Podcast. I'm filling in for Lloyd Barnes the Sheep Shagger. Talk about how excited I am to be here and that I will shag sheep, but only for today, so that way I fit in. Also mention how I can't wait to co-host this podcast with Ryland's dad.
All right. And you got a reply, you got a script?
Yeah, I got a decent script too. I mean, it's like, it's several sentences. I mean, this thing really put in work. I'll go ahead and read it to you. So it says, "Hello and welcome to the Magic Podcast. I'm your temporary host today, stepping in for Lloyd the Sheep Shagger. No, don't worry. I may not be a sheep shagger myself, but I promise I'll give you a magical experience nonetheless as I take on this role of co-hosting this podcast with Ryland's dad. I'm excited to bring you some enchanting content that will leave you spellbound. From the secrets of magic tricks to the stories of famous magicians, we'll be delving into the world of magic and bringing you all the latest news and trends. And speaking of fitting in, I've been told that sheep shagging is a tradition around here, so I'll be giving it a go today. But don't worry, I'll be sticking to the hosting duties from here on out. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be amazed. This is the Magic Podcast, and we're about to make some magic happen."
Oh my god, that is the that is the best intro to a podcast ever.
Incredible. I when it spit it out, I was like, okay, this is definitely getting read out over the podcast because this is too good to just hold back.
That is all kinds of awesome, man. All kinds of awesome.
Yeah, I was impressed. Yeah.
Fucking hell. That's brilliant.
I tried to get it to end with like cunt or something like that, so that way it could just be like a nice, you know, punchy ending, kind of like, you know, like Lloyd would do. Yeah, no, it actually told me that it doesn't spit out naughty words, so that was good to learn. I'm shocked it even let sheep shagging through, but it did.
And that's good.
I actually asked it to write something about Sam Sugarman earlier. I was gonna message him like just a little quick, you know, a little something just to mess with him, a little mean something, just because he's so young, he's a little child. I mean, he's 18, but I still like to make fun of him because he's like one of the youngest people that, you know, we I guess kind of talked to in this, and at Blackpool he was one of the youngest people I actually hung out with, and he was always getting made fun of for being a baby. So I figured, okay, ChatGPT, you did good with the podcast script. I'll go ahead and throw in something to try to insult Sam. I'm gonna send him a little text, say, "Hey, you're a baby, and also you're a twat." So I said, "Okay, ChatGPT, tell me a little text I can send to my friend Sam. I wanna poke fun at him for being young, and I also want you to end it by calling him a twat." And it basically responded to me and said, "At AI guidelines, I'm nice. I'm not gonna do that. I can't do that." And I was pretty upset by it. So, you know, whatever. ChatGPT, do your own thing. But at least it gave me that little bit of that gold nugget right there, because that was awesome.
That's worth the subscription. Do you pay for it? Do you have the subscription?
No, that was the free version. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, incredible. So, I mean, if you ever want to be entertained, just type something in, see what it spits out. And it might avoid calling Lloyd Barnes a sheep shagging cunt. So there you go.
Well, you know what? Me and Lloyd, last week, we talked about the Blackpool fallout, and we talked about everything that happened at Blackpool. But obviously, that was from my perspective and Lloyd's perspective. It would be great to talk to you, because obviously you came into the country from America. You hung out in the frat house, which was Lloyd, you know, like Airbnb come pimp wagon. And and you were there for the whole of Blackpool. You were responsible for what I think is the greatest moment of Blackpool fucking history, which is getting a selfie with Peter Nardi's balls. I mean, that was just fucking amazing.
It's on my wall. It's actually, I kiss it every night before I go to bed. Not the picture, his balls.
Of course. Why wouldn't you? Yeah. So, like, you know, anybody who can get a selfie with Nardi's testicles is just a winner in my book. How did you find Blackpool, man?
It was shit. I mean, absolutely awful. Blackpool was. The convention was amazing. I'm so glad I went. But I don't know. I didn't have high expectations, or maybe I did. I had high expectations of shit, and it lived up to those expectations. So I wasn't disappointed. It was more like, wow, it really is this bad. It's cold. It's wet. It's windy. I mean, if you're walking back to your place after midnight, it's a little dangerous. You know, there's people out everywhere. A lot of them are drunk. A lot of them are, some of them are even homeless, but then, you know, homeless people mind their own business for the most part. But it, you know, you're in this city where you're kind of scared to walk around after midnight. And I found it a little bit scary, but I did enjoy the Blackpool Magic Convention.
All fair, just to defend Blackpool's honor a little bit, and I can't really defend it that fucking much, to be perfectly honest. I'm embarrassed that all of these famous magicians come to UK for the first time and their experience of the UK is that. However, the one thing that I will say is you're catching it out of season. You come to Blackpool in the summer, it's a completely different thing. It's like, it's not where it is right now. At the moment, it's like fucking, if you ever saw Hell Comes to Frogtown with Roddy Piper from, Blackpool's like Frogtown, right? But in the season, it's like a really, 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 really shit version of Vegas. If Vegas was involved in some sort of nuclear catastrophe and were like in fucking The Walking Dead, and it was like, so that's what it's like in the summer. So it's better.
It's better, yeah. And you know, everyone that I talked to that was like, oh, how are you like in the UK? You know, where else are you going? And I was like, this is it. You know, I'm just in Blackpool. And they're like, please, please, please have mercy on us. Don't judge the UK off of Blackpool. And then I went and stayed a night in Manchester just because I was catching a flight. And night and day difference. It was very nice compared to Blackpool. And also, Blackpool, I enjoyed the arcade too. I did. I will say I enjoyed the arcade. I went to the arcade, had some fun in there. And then I guess like a child, Sam was with me. So that's kind of how I got drugged to the arcade. So I ended up in the arcade, had some fun there. And then went out to the water was like high tide. So you couldn't really see anything but just water, which was fine. They actually had it closed off. You couldn't even go down to the water because of how high tide it was. So I didn't actually get to go touch the water there, but I got to see it. It was nice. Got a picture with a phone booth, like a stereotypical American trip to the UK. I mean, it was great. No, really, like the trip was awesome. Super glad I went. Blackpool, it kind of, like, I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change that it's shit because that's just kind of what it is. It's part of the experience. It really is.
Yeah. It is. Ryland loves Blackpool, but he's a kid. There's toy shops, there's water parks, there's roller coasters, there's
Ferris wheels, arcades,
and there's places, and there's the House of Secrets where he gets to perform magic almost every single night to sell out crowds. And he loves Blackpool. He mentions every week, can we move to Blackpool? Can we move to Blackpool? And I'm like,
he loves it that much.
No, we can't move to Blackpool. And he's like, why not? Why can't we not move to Blackpool? And I don't want to say to him, because it's shit. other reasons. The business is in the middle.
The dream.
Yeah. But you know what? It's weird, but tiny little Blackpool has got the world's largest magic convention. And I speak to Americans. I remember when I went to Magic Live and you were there. And lots of Americans were coming over to me that had never been to Blackpool. And they were like, they were in the dealer hall and they were looking around and they were like, oh, I love this dealer hall. I bet Blackpool, you know, I've heard of Blackpool. I've never been there. I bet the dealer hall's not as big as this dealer hall here. And I'm like, Blackpool pisses over your dealer hall. Just the one little bit in the horseshoe. Just that one tiny little bit.
Yeah.
Bigger than that. Like
it was insane. That was probably one of my biggest surprises was like, I've seen that photo, you know, iconic photos of like the one big room of dealers where they are. And I'm like, you know, it looks large, but then you get there and it is large, but it's like even larger than you thought it was. And it was, you know, it was awesome. Cause as like someone who reviews magic, you know, this is like a paradise for me, right? You know, you get to walk through there and see all this new magic, or even just someone who loves magic. You don't have to review magic. Even just someone who makes magic content or just likes to watch magic. It was paradise. It was unreal how much magic was actually in there. One thing I will say, I was a little disappointed at how much I didn't get to see. And obviously you can't really do anything about it just because there's so much going on. But that was just one of the things where I was like, man, I should have, you know, planned a little bit better. Or maybe understood how much was actually going on. So that way when I went, I could like plan accordingly. So if I go, which I will go back, I'm definitely going back at some point. I'm definitely going to plan out my schedule a little bit better and say, this is what I want to see. I want to make sure I see this. Kind of make like a priority list, because I was just going everywhere at all different times. And I didn't even get to spend as much time in the dealer hall as I wanted to. I mean, I managed to walk around and film, you know, 60 magic tricks, but that was like all I really got to do. And I wish I would have actually gotten to kind of enjoy the magic in the dealer hall rather than just feel like I had to film everything. So if I go back, I'm going to spend more time in the dealer hall, most definitely. But at the same time, it's not a disappointing thing because there's so much going on that you never are bored. I mean, never.
Generally, at Blackpool, and a lot of people don't realize until you go there, there can be three things going on at the same time, three or four exactly. things, as well as the dealer hall. You'll have a lecture over here, a close-up show over here, a lecture over here. This is going to happen over there. The organization that must happen in order to pull that off and make it run smoothly is insane.
It's unreal. I mean, the convention like center is huge. Like the place where they're actually having this, I mean, there's so many rooms in there, you could easily get lost. I mean, you need to probably take like an hour when you first get there and just walk through the place and say, okay, this is what the Spanish Hall is. This is where the dealer room is. This is where so-and-so's show is. And kind of map that out in your head. So when you're ready to go, you can kind of be like, okay, I know where I'm going. I can allow myself a little bit extra time because I don't have to rush there, you know? But yeah, it was unreal. And definitely, if you've never been to Blackpool, you absolutely need to go to the Blackpool Magic Convention. I mean, it's just one of those things like you need to at least do once, like in your lifetime. And if you live in the UK, and you were able to go, you can even just get a day pass, like go figure out, you know, a way. It's not that expensive just to go for a day even, or catch the train and go up there. There's really no excuse to not go to Blackpool at least once in your life. I mean, you just need to go knock it off the bucket list. It's incredible.
I can so big. It amazes.
That's what she said. Anyone,
it amazes me that there's so many people in the UK that have never been to Blackpool.
Yep, I've had people comment on my video that I just posted, say, hey, I can't believe that I've never been to Blackpool. I kind of feel bad saying this, but I live in the UK and I've never been to Blackpool. And I was like, if you live in the UK, you definitely need to go to Blackpool. It's just one of those things.
100%.
One more thing. While I was there, actually, I was in the Ruskin, right? Everybody talks about the Ruskin. You need to go to the Ruskin, see some magic. I was there watching some magic. Someone had this deck of flashcards. And they had me pick a flashcard. I picked it. They were like, okay, now look at the last letter in the word. Think of an animal that starts with that letter. I was like, okay. The letter was E. And I thought of eel, like an electric eel. Like, you know, it's like in the water, right? Do you know what an eel is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I was doing that, apparently that screwed the trick up. And I kind of feel bad about it. So sorry about it. I was like, I'm going to choose eel. And I did, and it kind of didn't go the right way. And they're like, what's an eel? I was like, an eel. So, you know, well, sorry for headphone users. I just like yelled into the microphone. Eel. Oops.
Well, I mean, talking about the Ruskin, you became very close with Matt Cluley. You and Matt were like everywhere.
My bestie, me and Matt. I don't really know how it happened. He just kind of like, whenever we first saw each other, he was like, Tyler Lunsford. I was like, Matt, because, you know, his last name isn't, I guess, like, surname. I forget who I'm talking to. Yeah. it's not as popular as like, because he's just Matt from the Matt test or Matt from the Mattumentary. And I was like, Matt, I was like, I need something else to call you. So I would just be like, Matt, my bestie. And so then we became besties over the course of Blackpool. I literally have no idea how it happened. We would go to the Ruskin. And or even like we went to a show together. I mean, me and Matt became best friends over the weekend. We even took a road trip down to Manchester together after the convention. And it was completely unplanned. Matt's great. And we would even be in the Ruskin and he would be like, oh, hey, man, let me buy you a drink. And then I'd be like, no, let me buy you a drink. And then we would buy each other a drink. I mean, literally just. It's such a good relationship. I miss Matt dearly right now. That's another picture I look at before I go to bed every night. I just miss Matt.
He is awesome. And he's just been talking about you and you alone in the office since Blackpool. So there's that as well.
He's great. No, he's wonderful. I texted him like the day after when I got back and I was like, how's it going? And he was like already basically done with his day of work. And the time difference is just so weird when you're coming back to the States and I'm like, you know, just going through my day and he's ready to go to bed. You know, it's just such a weird time difference too, adjusting to that and getting woken up when you're trying to sleep, when you're jet lagged, you know, stuff like that. But
no, wouldn't know.
I'm sure you wouldn't know anything about that. yeah, it was great. It was a good trip. I'm so glad I went.
Amazing. So have you got one, before we move on, have we got one funny story that happened to you at Blackpool that you can share with people that are listening to the podcast?
You know, besides being woken up by a large man in a flannel when you're very sleep deprived. Besides that one.
that was I mean, that reaction, I just watched that back and I laugh and I laugh and I laugh. Honestly, assume the fetal position.
Yeah, I know. I literally was like, okay, there. I didn't have my glasses on. I had no idea what was in front of me. I just see, literally, like I said, a large man in a flannel that just yelled at me. And I was like, I am terrified. I don't know what to do. And there's someone with a camera too. Like, what? And it was incredible. Another funny story that happened. I could try to think. One was just, you know, being around Sam Sugarman. Like I mentioned earlier, he's fun to. I'm very thankful for Sam. Let me say that, because if Sam was not there, then I would have been the youngest, and then I would have been made fun of for being the child. So thank you, Sam, for letting everybody else make fun of you for being the youngest and not letting me have to take on that stuff, which was great. So thanks, Sam, and fuck him.
Sam is awesome. He really is.
Yeah, he's great. But meeting Ryland, that was awesome. You know, he's like a little local celebrity around there. I was like, Ryland, can I get a picture with you? He was like, yeah, sure. I was like, okay, sweet. Snap a photo. I mean, it just like a little local celebrity around town.
He's Ryland's something special. I'm biased, obviously, but I was watching your video and you did that trick and I just had no idea how it was done. I was like, I watched it today and I said to him just before we went to air, I went, you little fucker, how have you not shown me that fucking trick? I've got no idea how it's done. He's like, oh, I'll show it you. When? You're going to bed now. When are you fucking showing it me?
Oh my gosh. Well, you definitely need to see it because it was fun. I've had people ask about it. So you definitely want to figure out how that's done, because it's fun. And you need to figure out how to perform it so that way you can actually go out and do it. And it's incredible. One other funny story I'll add is that Kaylee, Lloyd Barnes' wife, Kaylee from Fuller, famous from Fuller. She showed me a magic trick, and at the end, she was like, okay, do you know how it's done? And I start guessing all these methods. And it was a card trick. I literally start guessing every possible thing I can think of. And she's saying, no, not that. No, not that. No, not. And I was like, you fooled me. And then she told me the method, and it was one of the things I said. And she was like, and then she just busts out laughing. I was like, you were definitely Lloyd's wife. she fooled the shit out of me. And then I realized that she didn't, because she was lying to me the whole time. And she fooled everybody in the room. She told everyone that it was not what it was. And then I was like, okay, I have no idea. And then she came clean finally at the end.
Amazing. Haley's lovely.
Oh, she's great. And Rory.
Watching Kaylee when Lloyd was lecturing, she was so proud.
Oh, you could tell. Like, she just looked so like proud. In awe, like literally just so happy to be there, so happy watching him up there on stage. Like, yeah, it was great.
They're and awesome. Then the evening, watching Lloyd on the podcast live with me, she was so disgusted.
Yeah, it really was like night and day difference there. I kind of was like, well, at least you got to see him in some spotlight, in a good spotlight. And now he is next to Craig, who is 18 pints in at this point. And we're a little, you know, it is what it is. Beer's going everywhere. But even came up there and got to say hey to you on the stage, asked a question live at the Magic Podcast, which was awesome. Then they shut it down. They literally shut it down.
Yeah, they can't cope with the Magic Podcast. That's the problem.
There was nothing that they could do to actually get the Magic Podcast to actually stay running. They literally said, it's just got to stop. We can't keep going.
Please stop. Please stop. We'll see if it goes on again next year. I doubt it, but we'll see. It might.
I walked out of there, and I can't remember who was next to me. And they're like, well, I was here for the first Magic Podcast Live, and now I can say I was here for the last. I was like, yep, that's fair.
That's definitely fair. Yeah. Well, what else can we talk about? Oh, I know. Right. Okay. Before we start talking about products, I've got you on the podcast right now. This is my chance to talk to you about abstract effects and what the fuck you're doing, selling your soul to the devil. So you know, I've been very vocal about the fact that the abstract effects are shit, and that the other brothers should rot in hell.
Oh my gosh.
You know, just for their crimes against magic. No, I mean that they've brought some good stuff out, but they're veering more towards the Peter Egging range than they are anything else, and that's trickled down. Abstract effects in the beginning were very good. And towards the end, they were terrible. And one of the reasons they were terrible is their communication. I made a big deal about this a few weeks ago on the podcast, but I talked about how they had this whole, hey, we're back on their Facebook page. We're back. We've listened to our customers. We're going to start posting regularly. And then like 6 months later, they just didn't post again. And they're just, you know, it's not how you run a business. You know, it's not how you endear yourself to your customer base, especially when your customer base is annoyed because the last few products they've bought for you aren't very good. And then all of a sudden I see my favorite YouTube reviewer put a video out to the internet going, hey, I've joined up. Hey, my name's Tyler Lunsford and I've joined Abstract Effects and I'm going to be a part of that team. And then I see you walking around Blackpool with, hey, ask me about how you can be a part of Abstract Effects. And I'm like, okay, what the fuck? So let's talk about, let's talk about selling your soul to the devil and how much you got paid to be royally fucked up the arse and what the fuck you're thinking about.
So let me first preface this with, I don't know how much I can say because obviously Max, and I'll talk a little bit about Max in a second, but Max wants to make a video about this in the future as well, talking about where Abstract Effects actually went. But two, what am I actually doing for Abstract Effects? Because I want to get that out there first before someone is like, well, yeah, what is he doing with Abstract? He's just releasing like his own tricks with them, or, you know, he's their customer support guy. Like what is he? So in long story short, what is my like position at Abstract Effects? I would say I'm like a talent scout / creative consultant. Digital media editor kind of thing, or creator. So first, I kind of help scout magic, help trying to figure out, you know, what tricks want to be released through Abstract Effects, or if they're good enough to be released through Abstract Effects. Like, 'cause, you know, I'm sure you've seen a lot of magic that gets submitted to magic companies. And I've learned this, I already knew this, but once you get on the business side of it and you're actually one of the people that's looking at magic coming in, you see, there's a lot of submissions that are just absolutely like terrible. I mean, they're awful. I mean, people think they invented the double lift, which obviously I'm sure they did that independently. And I'm sure that that's something that they were like, oh, I really think I believe, you know, I believe I created this. And that's all fine and dandy. But when it comes to releasing magic, that's not the case. So it needs to be something that, you know, is original and never been done before, that type of thing. I can get in. That's a whole nother podcast on how to release a magic trick. But one thing is that I'm helping scout these magic tricks because I think there's a lot of recency bias in the Abstract Effects. Attitude towards Abstract Effects is that their past couple releases weren't as good as their early releases. And I think a lot of that has to do with, well, are we even starting with the right tricks to produce?
Can I just say that that's the biggest understatement in the world? Their last couple of releases weren't as good as their earliest releases. That's the biggest fucking understatement in the world, Tyler. Their earliest releases were actually good. Their latest releases, the trailer's shit, everything about the trick is shit. It's not even worth wiping your ass on it because it's too sharp and jaggedy. It's night and day, absolutely night and day. Sorry, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, as someone who has seen and helped with these future products coming out, I can assure you that I am definitely really loving these new effects that they have coming out. For one, I think it starts with the trick itself. Like, don't produce a trick in the first place if you think it's, or, and not saying, because they didn't think these tricks were going to be bad, but I think that a lot of people, or at least not as good as the early releases, to understate it, as you said. But I think that there's a lot of issues with, if we produce the right tricks in the first place, we can stop a lot of the negative opinions. Now, it's always going to come. The negative opinions are there. I mean, this is the Magic community. You've dealt with the drama on almost every one of your releases. Like, something comes up, you know, something's going to happen. But how can we help limit that? How can we help bring out magic tricks that people actually want to perform and use? And how do we bring out trailers that actually convey what the trick is? How do we put out tutorial videos that have live performances, or at least have performances on there walking you through how to do it in detail, showing you different handlings for this or different uses for that? And I think that a lot of that starts in the beginning. I think a lot of it starts with digital media, like assets creation when it comes to the trailer and the tutorial. I think a lot of that comes to with the actual production process. Like, is it something that should even be a product? Can it be mass produced? Can it be mass produced at an affordable price for magicians? You know, all these things that a lot of magicians don't necessarily take into account because they're not on the business side of magic, or at least the product side of magic. They're on the business side as far as performing or whatnot. But a lot of people aren't necessarily on the product and retail side, the production side, all that stuff. And I basically come on to help kind of, I'm not going to say approve tricks, but give my opinion and advice on should these tricks even be produced and how do we make these tricks better? Because there's a lot of tricks that come with potential, but they do need a little bit of work to them. You know, add a couple routines, make the gimmick a little bit better, make it out of this, change that. And I think that a lot of this starts in the beginning. And if we can change how these products are even being selected to be produced, then I think that there can be a lot of good done with that. And I think a lot of the customer service and responding to customers and that kind of thing was taken care of once Max bought the company, because now Max owns the company and he's leading it. And that's a recent thing in the past couple months. And so
okay.
Max is doing a really good job.
Question. You keep talking about Abstract Effects as a we.
Yeah.
Who is the we? Are the other brothers involved in it anymore?
So the other brothers are... I'm not going to say they're completely out of it, but Max is definitely, I mean, he obviously bought the company. He's like the owner of it now. He is like the guy who's heading up all this, organizing everything. The other brothers come in for a couple consultancy things, but it's mainly Max and a couple other crew members. Like, you know, they've hired new gimmick builders and they've hired people to help, you know, produce their products. And they've hired me to help produce their trailers and their tutorials and help even find tricks. So it's definitely been a whole restructure of it in the beginning. And Max is a new, well, Max has been there since they started, but Max is a new owner as like actually owning it. That's recent. And I think that's where the change is going to be seen, because now he has like complete control. And I fully stand behind like Max's vision. Like, he's got a lot of great ideas as far as like how to actually run a magic business. And his actual background was in business first before it was magic. So he comes with a whole new perspective that I love sharing, because my degree in college was in marketing. And I just love being able to chat about marketing with other magicians and people that like producing magic tricks and stuff like that. So it's fun to talk to Max about a lot of ideas that I have as far as the magic business goes. And he's a great guy to actually work with and be around. And I'm super grateful for the opportunity, because I think it's going to be exciting. And I think that there's a lot of potential here with magic tricks that come out in the future from Abstract Effects, with being a lot better than they have been in recent months.
When are the first slate of new Abstract Effect tricks going to be coming out? Do you know?
I don't have an exact release date, because a lot of them are in production right now, because when I came on, it was kind of like, I mean, even when I came on, there was a trick that was already completed that was done before I got there, and that was even done before Max fully owned the company. And Max showed it to me. It was like, I don't think this is what I want Abstract Effects to be known as. Like, it's not up with the quality of the best tricks we've released, and I just don't want to release it. He was like, what do you think? And I looked at it, we watched the demo of the trick, and I was like, this is not something that needs to be a magic product. And he was like, okay, cool, I'm glad you agree, let's pull it. And literally thousands of dollars that have been invested into this one product.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
great. That's yes. Volumes to me.
Yeah. And like, when I say that there's going to be real change, I really do believe it, because of things like that. Literally, all the units were already packaged. Everything was ready to be like, I mean, literally distributed by Murphy's. And he was like, I'm going to pull it. I just don't want this to go out.
That's brilliant. And you also say that The other brothers no longer have any active say in the company at all. They're not decision makers. If anything, at best, they might.
Yeah, it's anything at best. They're like consultants. Like they have ideas, and like, you know, obviously Max was friends with the other brothers before they became a company. So like he'll still ask them questions and their opinion on things. But Max
is the guy. They won't have any decision about anything in the future. Is that right?
Yeah, Max makes the final say.
Got something about that. Hang on. The other brothers aren't decision makers anymore.
They're not decision makers.
Sorry, please continue.
Max makes the final say now. And let me just say, Max, like I said, Max is someone that is fun to work with because he has all these crazy ideas, like and like fun ideas. Like these are ideas that he brings to me and I'm like, this is great. Or I'll be like, this is so like out of the box. Like, this is awesome. I mean, we were talking about a trick that we're working on production on right now. And I was like, it'd be really cool if someone could like do that trick, but they had two of them, because if they had two of them, they could do this and they could do that. And he was like, well, why don't we just include two of them? And I was like, I guess that answers that question. So like, he really is open to a lot of ideas that I share and that, you know, he hears from other people. So I have high hopes. I wouldn't have put my personal brand working with a company that I didn't believe in. And after Max shared all these ideas with me and even talked about some future tricks that were coming up, you know, I believe in Abstract Effects, and I believe in Max as like someone that could lead this and someone that could actually take Abstract Effects back to where it was in the earlier days when they were releasing stuff like Stasis and Revolve and some of these big tricks that everyone loves and everyone uses. And it's just like, how do we get back to that point? And I know that there's been a lot of controversy and drama and stuff in the past, but I'm excited that there's a clean slate in the future, because we're going to make one if there isn't one. We're going to make it somehow. We're going to start over, not necessarily from scratch completely, obviously. Like, there's still Abstract Effects as a brand. And I love the brand of Abstract Effects. Love the logo, the colors, everything. But it's like, how do we build back a brand that, you know, some people have lost a little bit of faith in? And I think that's a little bit difficult thing as a marketer. And that's a whole nother conversation. But it's something that's exciting for me. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity. And, you know, Max is just, he's fun. He's creative. He's funny. He's just fun to be around. He texts me. We text almost every day, different ideas back and forth with whether it be products or
Matt, know that you're trailers. Cheating on him with Max.
Whoa, Matt, you did not hear that. Matt, that was not said. Anyways,
and are they going to be lying to their customers anymore, or is that are those days over?
No lying to the customers ever. We're not gonna do that. Yep. There's
no lying ever again.
Never.
Sounds like exciting times coming ahead there.
It is exciting times. So if you want to release a magic trick, be sure to head on over to my Instagram or Abstract Effects Instagram and let us know.
But one quick question, actually, and this is a serious question.
Yeah.
Do you worry that your credibility as a reviewer is going to be called into question by working with a magic production company? And the reason I ask that is, as far as I'm aware, I'm the only magic reviewer that works with actively works with the same companies that are bringing stuff out that I'm reviewing. Like David Penn with the Wizard Product Review, he'll bring stuff out through World Magic Shop, but that's his own company. I work for Penguin, I work for Murphy's, I work for Alakazam, and I always get the same shit. If you look at the latest review show that went up today, this is going up Friday, so yesterday, you'll see I trashed a Penguin product, I trashed a Murphy's product. I'm more than happy to trash any company's product that I work for, but I still have people, whenever I give a product a good review, they go, oh, Craig's only saying that because he brings tricks out through this company or that company. It's the go-to thing. It's frustrating. It's annoying.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And I think that that's something that people will wonder. That's something people will question. So how do I make sure that I come across as still, at least, obviously, you can't be, nobody that works for a company can be 100% unbiased when working for them. Whether they're trying to or not, something's going to come through. But I'm going to do my best effort to try to still be unbiased. And I'll tell you why I actually think it's going to improve my Magic reviews. And that's because I've been on the business side of Magic, but never like this. I've never been on the production side. I've never been on the actual production side of making a trick. What does it look like? What does the margins look like as far as cost and things like that? So when I ask these questions in the review of, well, should it be $30 US? Now that I know wholesale margins, project, like the actual cost of the project as a whole, what it costs per unit, that type of thing, I'm like, yeah, that was the price it needed to be because I know how much it costs to make this. And I can say, like, this is why it was this price. Or I can say, this is why it was made out of this material because we ran into a production issue with that type of material. I think it's actually going to add to it with a lot of different perspectives on different issues in the production stage and different issues in the packaging stage or the tutorial stage and the trailer filming and literally all of that. I think it could actually add to it and make it a little bit more informative. And I think I'm going to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit and let other people see inside the Magic business area, not just the Magic trick.
My favorite everything when it comes to production is every time Jay Sankey brings out a trick and justifies why he's using the cheapest product available. He does it every time. I remember when he bought out that trick that zero gravity, which was basically a lollipop stick on a pole. Yeah. And I'll never forget when he was like, I went through so many different prototypes. I injection molded. Yep. And I injection molded this. I injection molded that. Yep. Turns out this is the best thing to use. Fuck me, Jay. You spent thousands on this trick and all you had to do was think obstacle stick.
Yeah, Jay's great.
He does it every fucking trick.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly the one you're talking about, too, because I bought that one, and I was like, this is it. And then you go watch it, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm sure he spent all this money on that. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's a whole nother industry. Like, you know as well as anyone, there's a whole nother industry in the business side of Magic production and the retailing side. And I love business. I love Magic. So getting to combine them has been something like this really been fun for me. And I love it like just as much as anything else in Magic. Mm-hmm. So that's been super exciting.
Totally agree. Right. Well, moving on from that, let's talk some products, Tyler. Let's talk some products.
I have a funny story about products too. You'll like to hear.
Go on. Talk to me.
So there's a new trick that came out today by Penguin called the Locator Deck. Have you seen it?
Go Creaver. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So, not a stripper deck, not a Svengali deck, doesn't use rough and smooth or short cards or thick cards. The secret's indetectable. And the best part is you can use this as your everyday pack of cards. It allows you to quickly and easily identify any card or cards freely selected by your audience, underground system that gamblers have taken advantage of for decades to crush their opponents, and now it can be yours.
Look at that. It can be yours. Place your order now at penguinmagic.com.
So,
can I do voiceovers? I think I could do voiceovers for like Magic product or any product commercial.
I think you could, definitely.
This product, so I have a story about it. One quick thing for the story, speaking of voiceovers, I did want to say I did a voiceover for Rory Adams' One Ahead podcast. I did a read for him because I'm part of the collector tier because I love One Ahead. I love Rory. And if you're not subscribed to One Ahead, absolutely go do it because Rory is amazing. And I stayed with him at Blackpool too. He was one of the guys that we got to annoy all weekend. So that was wonderful. But my story about GoGo or the Locator Deck is, so on my way there, I was wearing a Penguin Magic shirt, actually. And whenever I go to Magic conventions, it's like my one time where I can actually wear like my Magic merch and people actually know what it means or like what it's about. So I try to take advantage of that. So I was flying out to Manchester and I was like, you know, I'm going to wear my Penguin Magic shirt. So I put on my Penguin Magic shirt and I'm at the airport and I'm about to board the flight. I'm eating some food and I'm literally just standing there like, I mean, I just made it to the gate and we're about to board. And this one dude comes up to me and he looks at me, he goes, hey, are you a magician? And I was like, yeah, I am. And then I quickly realized I'm wearing a Penguin Magic shirt. And he was like, oh, cool. Yeah, us too. And like points to his friends. He was like, you're going to Blackpool? I was like, yeah, I'm going to Blackpool. He was like, us too. That's awesome. And he basically starts telling me about these like releases that he's had. And I was like, okay, yeah, this, that. Now, and I don't think I knew any of the ones he had released. And he was like, I'm also releasing something with Penguin. I saw your shirt. He was like, it's coming out soon. It's called the Locator Deck. This guy. It was Go-Go.
That's cool. Wow.
Yeah, so he was on my flight to Manchester, and I didn't even like connect the dots until it came out today, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's Go-Go.
That's cool. Awesome. Man, well, it looks like a good trick. I don't know what you think. I have no idea how it works.
I don't know either. He just told me about it. He didn't actually like go into it. Because it was right as we were boarding, and he was like, oh, well, I gotta go board now. He's like, I'll see you at Blackpool. And then I ran into him at Blackpool a couple times. But yeah, so it was a super fun story. But I don't know anything about the product other than like what it does. I don't know how it works or anything. But it seemed cool. Seemed like a nice guy. So
that's cool. That's great. Well, the other thing that's out, a couple of other things that we should talk about. One is, and I did see this and I was very impressed on Matthew Wright's stand, Star Draws by Jamie Williams and Matthew Wright. Now, obviously, we all know who Matt Wright is. If you don't know Jamie Williams, the guy is a legend as far as I'm concerned. He's brought out so many incredible tricks. He was the mastermind behind, do you remember the trick that Matthew Wright brought out, Celebrity, where the key turned into Batman? That was him. And obviously, he is the creator or the co-creator of the Penguin Magic 2022 Trick of the Year, which was Sticker Kicker by Jamie Williams and Roddy McGee, which was one of the best tricks of 2020.
I love it. That was one of my favorite tricks. I put it on my top 10 list.
Well, that's Jamie Williams. That's the guy. And this is Star Draws. Did you see this in Blackpool?
No, I didn't. I went up to Matt Stan and he showed me like a cool trick where the card was floating out of the deck. It's not that, is it?
No, it's not. It's really cool, actually. So this is exactly how it plays. The spectator freely chooses any one of six crayons from a crayon pack. So you bring out a crayon pack, the six different colors, they pick one. Then they're asked to think of something associated with that color. And what they do is they use, and there's a really clever way that Matt's got of actually forcing a particular character, but there's lots of different options on the tutorial. But using magician stealth and the Jedi, they force the spectator, this performer forces the spectator to choose a character from Star Wars that corresponds to the chosen choice of crayon. Magically, the crayon now transforms into the chosen character right into the spectator's hands. So in other words, it's so fucking cool. You take the crayon out, they see it, it's just a normal crayon. They hold onto it in their hands. They think of it, like, let's say they take the green one out, they think of Yoda. And when they look at the crayon that they're holding now, rather than being a crayon tip, it's now the head of Yoda.
What? That's incredible.
It's partly Celebrity, partly Lolly Hero by Steve Rowe. It's
yep, that love Lolly thing. Hero.
But what's nice is there's six different crayons and each one's got a different reveal on it, so they can have a different outcome every single
time. Oh, that's nice.
And you just have the crayons in your pocket, and the way that Matt forces the character is genius. So basically it's a force. You have to force a character based on the color. I mean, you can, there's multiple ways to do it on the trailer, but on the tutorial, but I mean, it could just literally be, hey, pick a crayon. What you got? A green one. Okay, well, you know what? I love Star Wars. Do you love Star? Or you can even just say at the beginning, hey, who loves Star Wars here? You do. Okay, well, I've got some crayons here. Pick a crayon. Fantastic. What color have you got? Green. Okay, think of a character that's green in Star Wars. What have you got? Yoda. Oh my God, it's Yoda. It could just be that simple, or you can go more in depth with it. But I mean, it's so well done. It really, the method is genius.
Yeah, that's awesome. I need to check that out. I hate that I didn't see it at Blackpool. I wish I would have got like a video of that, because man, that sounds great.
Really good. Really.
And Jamie's awesome.
And the nice thing is, it's the sort of thing that will work for corporates. It will work for walk around. It'll work for kids. It will work for adults. Perfect for restaurants, family restaurants.
Yeah, that's great.
In the US, if you have this, but in family restaurants in the UK, all of the kids that sit down at the restaurants to give them some crayons to color in with.
Yep. Yep. That's the same over here. So that's, that would kill.
So, wow. Yeah, there you go. Star Jaws. It's up for pre-order. And it'll be, I think it's Murphy, so it'll be a week's time, and then it'll be shipped out to everyone.
Wow. Well, I need to go look at that. Yeah, that sounds great. I absolutely loved Lolly Hero. It was fun. But the one thing that made me sad about it was that you really only get like one or two reveals with it, you know, that are actually like something that I would use, you know, like one that's someone, it's a superhero that someone's going to name, right? Yep. And I love that that one is like, you could go and repeat it if you wanted to like force a different celebrity or whatnot. That would be awesome.
Absolutely. I saw this firsthand at Blackpool. Ryland was blown away, absolutely blown away with it. So was I. Yeah, it's really good. It's really, really, really
wow.
good.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Another one that Vanishing Ink have just bought out.
I was going to ask you about this.
Steve Thompson, Appearing Glass.
Yep.
$40 is a good price for what you've got here, I think.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I mean, only $40, Tyler. That's a good price, right?
That's a really good price, especially for what it does. If it works like it says it does, I mean, they fold up the bag.
I'll read the trailer. So a folded bag is removed from your pocket and unfolded in front of the audience. You clearly show them it's empty. You can even let them put their hands inside it. It's undoubtedly an empty bag. So far, this is the same as most marketed effects, but this is where it changes. Typically, at this point, you secretly preload the glass of liquid inside the bag before making it appear. This often requires some sort of fishy move. With Appearing Glass, those problems vanish. Instantly after they're done confirming the bag is empty, you make the glass materialize. They can see and hear it land with a thud at the bottom of the bag. Your hand never goes back into the bag after they see it empty. The appearance is instant, and they can even reach in and grab the glass themselves after it appears. You don't have to just produce a glass either. It can be used to produce a deck of cards, Rubik's Cubes, phones, or other similar objects.
Wow.
The ingenious gimmick built directly into an ordinary looking bag. The audience can look and feel inside. There's nothing to find. It's operated with one hand, so it's very easy, and you never have to worry about the bag getting ripped or ruined either, thanks to its durable, wear-resistant Tyvek construction. Be careful, wow. Vanishing Ink. You don't want to tell everyone that you've made something out of Tyvek. They might tell you it's not good. Motherfucker.
And then might spread it around.
I don't want to use Tyvek with that bag because it won't look like a real bag. It'll look like a paper. We want them made out of paper. Fuck off.
sorry. It's just...
too close to home.
Fighting Vanishing Ink's corner there. So no fishy move. Stage parlor close-up. Yeah, I mean, it looks fucking good.
I wonder what the angles are on it.
Doesn't say.
It looks so good, though. I watched the trailer today.
Yeah, it looks great.
It's like something I would add to my show instantly. Like, you can figure out a way to use a glass of liquid in your show. Like, it doesn't matter what you do. I feel like if it works like it does in the trailer, like, that would be sick.
Oh, yeah. It really is. So, I'm very, very, very interested in that. I think that could be really good.
Yeah, that's definitely one thing I'm going to be looking at as well. It's just, as a reviewer, I mean, you even relate to this, but like, we're the ones that take the plunge. And like, it kind of sucks sometimes because we get burned, but also at the same time, sometimes we get great tricks before anybody else does. But like, that fear never goes away.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. I completely agree with you. And then we've got one more to talk about, and I haven't got this yet, and I know that
Is it by your friend and mine?
The guy who I think is one of the greatest creators of magic in the world, in my opinion.
I totally agree.
The guy I'm totally high on, the guy who I think has set the industry on fire in the last few years, and a person who I look up to and hope one day I'll be at his level when it comes to creating magic, and that is...
Ryland Petty.
Fuck that. Fuck that little shit. David Jonathan, man.
He's absolutely.
A legend.
Oh my gosh. Literally, like you said, a legend. I mean, and we're like, I think Lloyd said it last week. Like, I'm jealous that his mind works the way that it does. And like, why won't mine work like that? Makes me upset.
Yeah.
I'm going to go send him an angry message later tonight.
It pisses me off. slightly, but I'm over it. Why don't you talk about the last few? Why don't you talk about Vox and why everybody should get it? So I know you've seen this. You've had more experience with this than I have.
So Vox was something that David first showed me a few months ago, and it was in its infancy. And this was something that when I first saw it, I was like, this has like a lot of potential. And then over the next few weeks following that, David was like, no, I've done this. And I found a way to add that. And I ended up changing this so that way it would do that. And I was like, okay, so now you've taken this effect from a basic card in any number to like something that has even, it's just even better. So what it is it's any card in any number done with Siri on your phone, but no app. There's no app. You're not using like a special app that you have to download from the app store. No, you're using your phone, stuff that's on your phone to begin with. That is what you're using. And it's just so fun. Like, I remember he first showed me and I was doing it to myself and I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. It's basically you ask Siri to name a card and a number and the card is in the deck that they have like shuffled, you know, if they want to cut the deck or whatnot, they can. And the card is at the number that she says. And, you know, you're just asking Siri like, well, I'm not going to ask her because then my phone's going to go off. But you say, hey, blank, name a number. Hey, blank, name a card. And she does it. And then they count. Literally, they can count down and the card's there. It's so good. No apps. No apps.
That's insane. I love that no apps has become a serious marketing point.
Right? It's like no magnets or no thread.
Yeah, it's like no apps.
Yeah, no apps. Literally, you can. It's literally using your phone, and you can. I mean, you can even have them be like. You can verify that this is not just something that Siri does on your phone. Like, you can have them ask Siri to name a number. Like, she'll do it. You know, like it's a thing, and so it's so authentic, and it just feels so real and so impossible. And yeah, I love it. And the method behind it's clever. It's super fun. I mean, it's just, I can't say enough good things about it. And I can't say enough good things about David and himself. I mean, even just as a person, as a creator, like, he's great. Super fun to talk to. Always like, he's a fun guy, you know?
He is. He's great. He's just sent me an email. I need to reply to it. Apparently I won the Thurston Award at the Magic Cafe again, second year.
What?
I found out today, which is super exciting. Two things. One, I voted for him for the first award. I think he's a fucking national treasure when it comes to the industry. That's how much I think of him. But secondly, I can't believe I won the Thurston Award. I think it's the digital equivalent of treat them mean and keep them keen. Because I'm not always the nicest to the people on the Magic Cafe. I do sometimes go off on videos and say that they are challenging at best, but you know, I really appreciate it. Means a lot. It really does. There's an entire community, and the Magic Cafe is a big community.
Oh yeah, as we've seen in the past few weeks.
Yeah.
And how many pages are on that thread?
It's a big community, and you know, the fact that they've said that I'm the recipient of the Thurston Award for services to the magic industry is great. I'm blown away.
Yeah, it's awesome. I don't know how you got it either. Shocked me too.
It shocks me. And Lloyd got App of the Year for Maxim.
Oh, nice. I need to text him and tell him that he's a bastard. So that's what I'm going to do now.
You can text him and then he can ignore you too.
Actually, that's a great idea. Every time I text Lloyd, it takes me forever to get a response. Craig's not joking. This is a thing.
It's impossible to get hold of Lloyd. And don't bother trying to call him. He just won't answer.
No, he won't. No, not at all.
Nope.
You need like 3 business days to get a response back from Lloyd. Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
I was walking around with him at Blackpool in the dealer hall. Someone was like, oh my gosh, Lloyd. And he was like, hey. And it was like someone that he knew. And they were like, I've been texting you. I've been trying to get a hold of you for might have been months. I mean, it was like a while. And it was like, oh yeah, sorry, man. Like it's notorious. He's notorious for it. You know, this is just Lloyd's thing. It's not just us. If you ever message Lloyd, just give yourself some room to hear back from him, and don't be hurt when he doesn't respond in 10 minutes, and honestly, even 10 days, because it might take a little longer than that.
Oh, fuck yes. Absolutely. Yep. Well, this is the part of the show where we go sorry, not sorry, and we talk about something that's a little bit controversial.
My camera.
Can I say that on here? Am I going to get canceled?
It's fine. This is a magic podcast. I mean, fucking hell, didn't you see what we did at Blackpool? You can say what you want on here. I have something that I'd like to talk about, unless you've got something in mind.
No, I really don't want to give my opinions on anything because I managed to not get canceled the first time, which is why I'm back. So okay. to get canceled this time, no, I'm joking. I'm going to share.
Talk about controversial.
I know. I can't wait to share.
So here's the thing. So when this is not about Michael Weber or Tim Tronor. I've moved on from that. The entire community has moved on from that. But
yeah, I'm shocked he didn't win Thurston Award.
Should have done. New guy should have. One of them. But I do want to quickly bring it up for 2 seconds in order to give frame of reference as to what I'm going to be talking about. So one of the criticisms that I had early on with how I dealt with the Michael Weber, Tim Tronor, new guy situation was they said, hey, you shouldn't have made a video about it and made it public. It should have been happening behind the scenes. And my point was, it had got to the point behind the scenes where I was told, well, we don't want another red situation. It was kind of an ultimatum. I got to a point, I've been in business for a long time and I've broken a lot of deals and I've negotiated a lot of deals. And I know that was the point where it was like, I either shit or get off the pound. I either do what they say, or the next thing is it's going to get leaked somehow on the internet. And I would be made to look terrible. So I decided to control the narrative and put the video out. And in hindsight, I was right, because then the thread went on the cafe. And who was the first person that commented? New guy. And what did he say? He completely discredited me. He brought up red. He talked about me being a thief. He talked about how I was the worst person in the world. I can't be trusted. I got caught with my hand in the cookie jar again. And the call for the entire community to come down on me. That's exactly what I thought was happening, what would happen, which is why I wanted to control the narrative. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I think it's very easy. I've talked in the past about the magic mafia, and that's a conversation that I'm going to have about various different things in the future on various different videos. But I do think that there's certain people within the magic industry that are very powerful, and if they say something, there are certain people that will follow them blindly that will agree, and it can almost become like a witch hunt. So when Red happened, it was made 1,000 times worse by Michael Weber really coming down hard on me. And we know he did, because New Guy said that Weber bought the rights to New Wave Prediction to go after me. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it can. Now, the reason I bring this up is because of David Penn. Because I don't know if you have seen, David Penn's posted something on his Facebook post.
I have not.
Okay. So 6 hours ago, we're filming this at 12:30 UK time. 6 hours ago, David posted, and he said, and I'll read it out exactly. Thank you to everyone who sent me messages since a post last night by Richard Kaufman. I'm not sure what I did to warrant this personal attention, nasty online criticism, a ridicule from such a name in magic, lucky me. Richard says I have copied a billiard ball holder with my latest release, the Inversion Holder. I disagree. I thought I'd made a very honest trailer explaining the differences in my release to anything that had been out there before. I've written to Richard privately, but received no response. In the meantime, his hate-fueled thread continues, and to be honest, I can't rationalize it. You don't have to buy it. No one does. But I genuinely do believe that there's innovation in my product that will solve many issues for working professionals who choose slim-fitting costumes. I openly demonstrated and explained it at the Blackpool Magic Convention. Richard has said it's nothing but a billiard ball holder. I've invited Richard to post a picture of a product that's been made previously that fits and delivers final loads this way and conceals it in such a unique position without damaging our clothing. Richard's not responding to my messages, so I'm not sure what he'd like me to do. Thanks again for everyone that sent me personal messages regarding this. Now, giving people frame of reference, at Blackpool, he bought out something called the Inversion Holder, which is basically an upside down ball holder. So the ball holder, the traditional ball holder was...
I'm trying not to laugh.
Try your hardest. It's a safety pinned into a jacket or whatever, and it falls just by the edge of the jacket, so you can bring your hand down and you can kind of steal the ball. That what David's done is he's inverted it, so it's up so that the ball is more in the ball of the back, and he's got a completely different way of fixing it that doesn't involve safety pins, and it more clips onto the belt type of thing, and it means that it doesn't bulge out because it's in the ball. It kind of is made to curve. Fuck off. It's made to curve, right? And it's up at the ball of the back. So the point I'm trying to make, that's what it was. He released it at Blackpool. Very, very popular. Blah, 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 blah. So I saw this message.
Balls dropping, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, balls dropping. Took a while, but you got there in the end. Now, Richard Kaufman, who I've had a run-in with in the past, Richard can be quite a challenging individual. I remember somebody who I was having quite a public argument with a couple of years ago. What? Craig Petty having an argument with somebody on the internet? Shock, horror, no, fuck me. I was having quite a public argument, and Richard Kaufman came on and went, "Don't worry about Craig, he's a dick." I'm like, yeah.
Jeez.
Fuck you very much, mate.
Yeah, I mean, way to just put the truth out there like that.
I mean, it's true, but he could have delivered it in a nicer way.
He could have been nice about it, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, so I was like, I'm going to go on old Coffee Baby's Facebook, see what's going on here. It's now on 154 comments. He put a post on, and this is the point I'm going to get to, and this is why David made his post. He put a post on a day ago going, "I'm trying to understand why this is not being called what it is, which is a billiard ball holder invented over 100 years ago," and then puts a link to the inversion holder and says, "I'm trying to understand why this is not being called what it is, which is a billiard ball folder invented 100 years ago." Now, out of those 154 comments, the majority of them are really fucking going for David Penn. Like, they're really fucking going for it. Now, bearing in mind, David's got a reputation in this industry for creating some amazing fucking magic. He's just been made a gold star member of the Magic Circle, in the inner Magic Circle. He's fucking been on TV numerous times. He's mentored so many people. Me and David have had our ups and downs over the years where we're frenemies. We get on, but sometimes we can piss each other off. But he knows I've always got his back. And the fact is, he's done more for magic than most people I've ever seen. And he's achieved so much, and he's had so many amazing tricks that have come out. And the amount of toxicity and hate from people posting without even looking into the situation themselves, without even kind of going into it and going, well, let me do my own fucking research. Let me look into this myself and figure out what it is, rather than blindly listening to somebody who makes one fucking Facebook post. People going, it's almost laughable. Oh, David Penn, he's ridiculous. And people making stupid little jokes. I saw this was released today, along with his idea of a signed card to Kiel box. He's obviously a genius. Oh, God, don't get me started. What the fuck? They aren't even trying to disguise it. Like, there's a cup, because it's a tangerine instead of a billiard ball. Come on, Richard, we're talking about David, the creator. Oh, he's got a terrible track record. People just really just fucking being nasty about the whole situation, which makes me remember Red. And there's two issues that I've got with this, and I'd like your opinion. The first issue I've got is, we're supposed to be a fucking community, and there's 154 posts there, and the majority of them, there's a couple of David's friends like Nick Einhorn and Tom Wright that are jumping onto his defense. But the majority of people are just slagging him off for absolutely no fucking reason. I've seen the product. I understand why it's different. They've blindly listened to Richard Kaufman and just decided to attack somebody publicly without even fucking looking into it themselves. That's the first issue here. We're supposed to be a fucking community. And this is what happened to me with Red. And this is why I fucking did the video on Michael Weber, because I just fucking knew if he was allowed to control the narrative and he'd have put the post as New Guy on the Magic Cafe, which is what would have happened. New Guy would have put the post on the Magic Cafe going, Craig's done it again with EDC, blah, 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 blah. It would have been, oh, he's back to his, it would have been boom, 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 boom. And it would have been exactly the same fucking thing. And and that's why I controlled the narrative with Weber, and that's what's fucking happening here, and it's what happened with Red. The second thing is Richard Kaufman, I really fucking hope that you're listening to me, or I hope that somebody who is fucking friends with Richard Kaufman sends him this soundbite, because he is a fucking big name in this industry. He's a fucking big powerful person. As a Genie subscriber, as someone who is an annual subscriber and gives him money, as a fucking customer of that guy, I am fucking disgusted. And I'm disgusted because he should know better. As a journalist, as somebody who runs a magazine, he's accused me of doing shit in the past, and fair enough, probably a lot of the stuff I have done, but he's not infallible. When somebody is at his level, when somebody has a following like he does, he can't just blindly put shit on Facebook based on an opinion without looking into it. And then all of the shit and all of that, he doesn't know what situation David Penn's in. He could be in a terrible state mentally. And all he's done is he's caused all of his followers to go. He's basically said, come on, guys, let's make that guy's life shit by putting one post. You fucking, who the fuck do you think you are, Kaufman? Who the fuck do you think you are? You are a fucking journalist. You should know better than doing shit like that. You fucking disgust me. You fucking disgusting piece of fucking shit. It really pisses me off. It fucks me off. And the reason it fucks me off is because this is a fucking cunt who is fucking doing the same thing to David that I had done to me 11 years ago. There's a guy who thinks he's fucking all powerful. He thinks he's the most important person on the planet. He thinks he's completely infallible and he can fucking snap his fingers. Do you really like what's happening here, Richard? Do you fucking like that there's now 154 comments attacking somebody who has done nothing fucking wrong based on your opinion? And it is only your opinion. It is only your opinion is that product is different to it, is not different to a billiard ball holder. My opinion and the opinion of a lot of other people is it is different. But you haven't framed it as an opinion, and you haven't shut down the people that are making comments on your Facebook page and say, whoa, 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 guys, I don't want you to attack or make funny jokes about David. I don't want him to feel bad. Fucking mental health. I've seen fucking Richard Kaufman talk about mental health on his fucking Facebook page. What he's fucking doing there is putting somebody through shit because of one opinion he's made. He could fucking stop that immediately by saying, stop this. Make your own opinions up. But they haven't, you fucking disgusting cunt, Kaufman, you fucking cunt.
Yeah, it's one of those situations, I think, where is David Penn's product even
available? By the way, Kaufman, if you're fucking listening to this, don't bother messaging to me. You're blocked and my Genie subscription's ending, you stupid fucking cunt.
Is David Penn's product even for sale outside of Blackpool?
Yeah, it's on the World Magic Shop.
Okay, so it's for sale now?
He's partnered up with TCC to do it.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I think a lot of people are blindly just following whoever. And this is not just the case for this situation. This is the case in a lot. I mean, you even see it back at Blackpool with Mike Hammer, with a lot of people getting offended over that. I think it's a lot of people getting offended for other people and a lot of people actually blindly following someone else. And I think that a lot of this stuff is people just want to say something to support someone that they like without doing their own research. I mean, like you said earlier, people aren't doing their own research. This thing just came out. I mean, it was released like at Blackpool, right? I'm pretty sure it was released at Blackpool, right? Yeah. And now it's like just come out. It's been like a week. So there's no chance that all of those people have had a chance to actually get their hands on it, play with both of them.
People have, you know, it's his version of a holdout for a final load for a Chop Cup. That's what it is. It's his version. There's a million different people that are bringing out holdouts for this. Why are you singling out David Penn? Why are you signaling? Now, I'm probably, you know, I've just called fucking Richard Kaufman a cunt. I'm probably taking this too far, and it might be because my dog's dead tomorrow. and I'm fucking infected with, and I'm on antibiotics. But it's really pissed me off, Tyler. It really has. And I don't normally get pissed off, but I see the same thing happening to David that happened to me 11 years ago. One powerful person in the industry snaps his fingers and states his opinion, and everybody blindly follows along because they want to be seen. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Kaufman, please can you bend over and spread your butt cheeks so I can lick your asshole? I'd like to lick it so hard, Mr. Kaufman. Oh, please, I want to listen to what you've got to say, Mr. Kaufman. Oh, please bend over while I fuck you from behind, you big, sexy fucking fucker.
It's one of those situations where, literally, like you were saying, I think so many people just find someone that they idolize or someone that they look up to or something. And even if that person says something, you need to at least fact check it a little bit, right? Get your, before you start, especially when you're going to start slagging off somebody else. If you're just giving your opinion, you know, you're like supporting someone, be like, oh, okay, yeah, sorry it happened. But like, if you're going to actually be out there talking bad about David Penn, who you don't even own his product, and you literally have probably been watching the Wizard product review for years, like, why? You need to do some research before you go out there and start slagging. I mean, these are people at the end of the day. Like, people have emotions. Like you said, people have mental health. And so many magicians, I think, have probably left this magic community. I mean, even you did. You left it for a while. So many people are leaving because of the community itself, and it's not something that is necessarily welcoming to everyone, or not necessarily everyone does their research, and people just want to jump ship and bandwagon onto something because it's someone that they like or someone that they look up to. And that's all dandy and great that you look up to so-and-so, but I mean, let's just take a little bit of time to research some stuff and make our own opinions, especially before we start personally attacking people on the internet when we don't even know what their product's like. And even if, which I'm not saying this happened, but I'm saying even if two products got released and they're very similar, there's no need for personal attacking going on. Just have that conversation in private. There's no need to personally attack someone for having a product. I mean, it's just the community, I think, that we're in. And it's not everyone. It's definitely not everyone. I think it's a few people that actually, you know, attack people, and then it sets a bad rep for a lot of other people. It's not everyone. It's just, I think it's a select few. And then, you know, one bad apple ruins it.
Yeah, and it's mob mentality, man. It's mob mentality, and it's just ridiculous. It really is. You know, I was looking at, like, later on, Dave goes on to defend himself, and Kaufman makes a point saying, well, this wouldn't be any good for cups and balls. How would you hold three loads? Would you have one next to each other? It's ridiculous. And it's like, it's not being marketed to hold. It's the most honest fucking trailer I've ever seen in my life. The trailer just literally tells you what it is and where the balls hold and how to steal it. It's literally the most honest trailer I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, I haven't seen the trailer for it. I didn't even see it at Blackpool. I went by David Penn's stand, but I didn't actually get to see it. And I also never saw the original one that he's saying he copied. Like, but people, let's do a little bit of research here before we start throwing out things. I mean, you know, I haven't read the comments either.
You know what he says? David says, this trailer should explain what I've done with my inversion holder. I'm proud of my creation. The trailer is as honest as it can get. Surely nobody's fueling the hate here without taking a look. And Kaufman replies and said, this is not hate. This is what happens when you put a 100-year-old product that's only been slightly modified on the market while giving it a spiffy name, and you keep patting your side pockets in the trailer. No one with any brains uses their side pockets. You use the rear jacket pocket, trouser pockets, which are hidden by the jacket, which is hanging down. Instead of seeing what we are seeing here, you feel the need to attribute some ulterior motive or hate to it. Nonsense. Kaufman, cannot you see what's going on here? Read the fucking comments. You are causing hate towards David Penn and towards a product. And even if it is a 100-year-old product and it's been modified slightly, he's got every right to market it because there's been a million other ball holders that have come out that aren't any different to the traditional ball holder from a billion ball holder from 100 years ago. This does make a massive difference. Oh. Yeah, for example, I bought it at Blackpool. I'm going to use it for a couple of different reasons. One, as Tom Wright says, on stage, and I do the cups and balls on stage, by the way, I do chop cup on stage. On stage, when I'm wearing a jacket, if I've got it in my back pocket, you're going to see it when I've walked from one side of the stage to the other. You're going to see it. It's going to be completely hidden underneath my jacket, which is good. Second of all, in close-up, I use my back pockets. I have a 5-inch jumbo coin in one, and I have something else for a deck production in the other one. I don't want to put them in my back pocket. This is the perfect solution. I also don't want things hanging down at the base of my jacket. Inverting it and putting it in the base of the spine is a really good idea.
And for someone who has created something literally called Chop, I mean, I think you're the person that can be okay with it loading one thing into one cup, because that's literally your routine with Chop is one cup with a it's not even a Chop cup. But
here is the hate, Tyler. And yeah, he says sucks. He hasn't spread hate. The fact is, maybe he doesn't feel like he's spread hate, but now you've got all of these people slagging off David Penn for absolutely no fucking reason whatsoever.
Yeah, I wonder if they had reached out to each other in private before this, because that's something that needs to be handled in private. And then and even now, just go talk about it in private. Maybe you can get those posts deleted. Just, I don't know, come to some type of a something, because there's no need for all of that to be out there, all those name calling.
Kaufman is one of the biggest names in Magic. He's one of the most powerful names in Magic. He runs Genie. You know, he's got one of the best book publishing companies of all time. He's a powerful man. He makes a statement. People are going to blindly listen to it. It's why I dialed back massively on the rants, because, you know, I'm in a situation where people listen to me and I can't go attacking people unwarranted without making it very clear why I'm saying something's not right. And now I have to check myself many, many times. And there's times I've had to apologize because I've felt I've gone too far. And maybe in the morning when my dog's actually dead, I'll think I've gone too far in this case. But right now, it's disgusted me that all of this shit is happening because of a fucking product that David Penn has every right to bring out. And he hasn't cut this off. He hasn't stopped. He's just continued with this and allowed his commenters to continue.
Yeah, it really sucks that the comments are still going on something like that. And I haven't read the comments actually personally, but if they're really like personally attacking someone, like why is there a need for that? You know, like just.
Dealing with David Penn, one of the best creators in the planet. Anyway, I think that, you know, we've never done this before, but I think that on the Magic podcast, we'll probably never do it again because Lloyd will never allow me to do this again, but fuck it. Richard Kaufman, we're going to be bringing up the Magic podcast musical segment right now for a few seconds. And you are the first recipient of this piece of music on the Magic podcast.
You are a
you go fuck yourself, dickhead.
You are a cunt. If that's thinking cunt, is that ain't true? Let me tell you, you're motherfucking cunt. You are a cunt, motherfucking cunt. Everybody knows from your head to your toes, you're a fat thinking cunt. Why don't you shut that scabby cunt mouth before I fuck up your face? To be real nice, say it twice, good advice, even though it's been titled fucking imbecile. I don't know why I try to deny this nagging itch. You maniac, gonna get you back, you fucking son of a bitch. You are a cunt. If that's from two cunts.
Well done, Kaufman.
Well, I think Lloyd knew this was coming, and Lloyd was like, hey, Tyler, buddy, I am going to need you to fill in for me on the podcast today. And I think he had an inkling, or he had some sort of hint that this was going to happen. And now I'm here. I wasn't going to get canceled the first time. And now I've come back and I'm about to get canceled just for being here and listening to it. Oh my gosh. Oh, this is a shit show. Oh man. Well, yeah, I wonder if the musical awards for the Magic Podcast will ever happen again. I cannot wait to hear what Lloyd thinks about that.
Yeah, probably not. But at least he's got plausible deniability on this one.
Oh man.
He wasn't even fucking here. This is all fallen in the arms of abstract effects.
Oh no. No. Abstract effects does not support or condone anything. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And now not only, yeah, now my personal brand has been canceled, and so has the brand I work for. So
you're welcome.
And I also lost sleep in Blackpool. So Craig, you're a lifesaver, man. I mean, a world changer.
About that. Oh no, it's just pissed me off, man. It's just pissed me off. It's not fair on David Penn. It's just not fair. You know, any Americans that are listening to this, the word cunt is completely different over here as it is over there. It's the equivalent of you're a naughty boy. You know.
Yeah, I learned that. I was trying to tell people like the slang I learned while I was over there visiting. And I said that, and someone was like, oh my gosh. I was like, what? Said what? And they explained to me. I was like, oh, sorry. It's just, I've been there for a week and it's kind of like become a part of my vocabulary with my friends.
You just say it to everyone. Ryland walked into the Ruskin on the first night, like three magicians came over, Ryland, come here, you little cunt. Like, it's just,
yeah, here, not, it would not fly. But there, that's literally what everyone says. I was like, I had to be careful when I came back. I was like, oh gosh, now I got to be careful about what I'm saying to my friends, because I'm out here. I'm saying some of the worst things possible, but over there, it's just, what'd you say? It was, as Lloyd would say, Lloyd says it was a cunty thing to do. That's what Lloyd says. So,
yeah. You're not a cunt. It's a cunty thing to do. And I think it is. And I've made mistakes, but you know, the difference is I've apologized. And I continue to make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. I don't have a feeling that Kaufman won't apologize. But whatever.
Are there any questions?
No. Lloyd normally tells me the questions. Nobody sends them to me. So probably not.
Oh, my gosh.
Unless they're in the... I don't think so.
Yeah, because probably nobody asked it. I'll ask a question live.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Someone just put in the SOS what phone effect was Ryland doing in Tyler's video.
There you go. There you go. Isn't there a thing for? Isn't there a little thing for the podcast? I'm sure there is.
Let's see here.
I'm sure there is.
Figure something. We'll figure something. I'll ask one live real quick if you want to answer a question live.
Go for it. I'll answer a question live for you.
All right, here we go. What's up to the Sheep Shagger and Ryland's dad? It's your favorite cowboy magician here, back with another question. Hey guys, Tyler Lunsford here, back with another question. I just wanted to say, Lloyd, Craig, what I know it's far in advance, so obviously it's not here yet, but Magic Live is coming up in several months later on this year. What is your opinion on Magic Live being a surprise show? You know, they don't announce anything. They don't tell anyone who's actually going to be there, what's going to be happening. Do you think that's kind of their thing? You think it works for them, or do you think they'd sell more tickets if they actually told who was coming? Anyways, knock off the go and check off some things on the bingo card. Nardi's Nuts and Lloyd Chad Sheep. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Have a shit week. There you go. Oh my gosh. Great question.
Absolutely amazing question. And a good question. Well, first of all, I don't know. You know, Ron's Day over here in the UK, which was Ron McMillan's Day by the International Magic place. They used to have like a special guest, and it used to be the biggest name ever. It used to be like, you know, it was Derren Brown and Dynamo and people like that. Really big names that used to come in. And it always used to be a surprise. And people would buy tickets because they knew the surprise would be really good. The problem with that is that the surprise doesn't deliver to the point that people expect it to. That then becomes a bit of an issue. I think if you've got a big name, I think you should announce it. Like, for example, somebody like Uri Geller, because Blackpool did Uri Geller a couple of years ago. That's a big name. They announced Uri Geller. I know a load of people bought tickets because of Uri Geller. Matt King is another example. If they held that back, I don't think there's certain people that wouldn't have bought tickets that did. So I don't, like Kevin James, they announced Kevin James. And I don't know. I mean, obviously it works for Magic Live. It does work for Magic Live because I've been there more than once and it's always rammed. And it's like, it is the Blackpool of America. You know, it's yeah. one of the biggest conventions. So you can't say they're doing it wrong. I think they've created this whole mystique around Magic Live where it's just kind of like, oh my God, ooh, what's going on?
Yeah, who's coming out next?
Yeah, and that works. I don't think that would work for Blackpool. I think if Blackpool didn't announce any acts at all and didn't say what they would do, I think that people wouldn't come. So I think that it really just is based on the individual convention. I don't think they'd sell more tickets by announcing the names. Because I think the people who want to go to Magic Live would go to Magic Live. And I don't think the people that I think a lot of people go to Magic Live because it's Magic Live. I don't think it's anything to do with the people that are there. And also they know that Magic Live there's a lot of people that are going to be there that live in Vegas. So, you know, when I was there last year, you had David Copperfield walking around, you had Teller walking around, you know, you had big names just walking around, and that's another pull as well. So,
which is crazy. It's just wild that those people are just kind of chilling. I mean, I remember I was in the food court eating. The table next to me is freaking David Copperfield, like watching Magic. And I'm like, what? Like, how did I end up here at this time? Like, it's just crazy. So, yeah, I mean, I think that ultimately it's kind of their thing. It works for them. I don't know how many more tickets they would sell if they revealed everything, because everyone's going to go anyways at this point. It's Magic Live, like you said. It's the biggest Magic convention in America, and everybody's going to go that wants to go.
Absolutely. Completely agree with you. Yeah, I think that's it, man. I know you got to go.
Yeah, so, no, you're good.
You got to go. Thank you for filling in for Lloyd. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for asking me to. Lloyd, have a shit week. I hope you had a terrible day doing whatever it was that kept you busy.
Who the fuck knows?
Oh, one quick thing before we drag this on any longer and make people listen for much more longer. But I did see Dex at Blackpool, and I wanted to build some hype around it because I know. No, I'm joking. no, but I did see Dex, and this is a funny story I wanted to add. I took a picture of me holding Dex with like a YouTube thumbnail face, and I got Lloyd's font that he uses in his videos, like the yellow like writing. And me and Jake Keane were downstairs one night, and Lloyd was asleep, and we took a picture and we photoshopped it to make it look like I actually made a thumbnail that said like Dex revealed or Dex finally is out or something. And then Jake Keane made that thumbnail, posted it on like a fake YouTube, like photoshopped it on YouTube. And after Lloyd got home and pretty much everyone else got home, he sends it into the group chat and goes, Tyler, what are you doing? I can't believe you posted. And it was the fake thumbnail. And it looked like I had uploaded a YouTube video talking about Dex and revealing it to everyone. And Lloyd was like, if it was anyone else, I would have believed it. And it was great. I wish the photo could be shared, but it's actually got Dex in it. But it was incredible.
And Dex is good, isn't it?
It is. I think that a lot of people, and you've literally said this in the past, I think a lot of people expected to put the card into your hand, and it's not that. You know, it's going to take a little bit of work, but if you're willing to put the work into it and take some time to practice it, then you'll love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's fair. That's fair. Absolutely fair. Can't wait for it to come out. But,
I know.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. It's going to happen soon. I don't know why I can't wait for it to come out. I've been using it for 2 years, but, you know.
I know, right? Well, anyways, I think we've dragged this on long enough, and I just wanted to get in some Dex hype there just because I knew Lloyd would love it.
Well, you know, don't forget, guys, check out Tyler's YouTube channel. It is popping right now.
Oh, thanks.
You've got some great content coming up.
It's I appreciate it.
Amazing. Just I search Lensman Magic on YouTube and give him a subscribe.
Yes, and submit your tricks to @abstract_effects on Instagram.
There you go, because Tyler will be helping spearhead the rejuvenation of
absolutely
of abstract effects. But yeah, make sure that you follow us on all your favorite podcasting platforms. Make sure that you. Join in the Facebook group, because we always are fucking in the Facebook group. Well, Lloyd's not, he's never on social media, but I'll be there.
He's not even here.
Not even here. But he'll be back next Wednesday. Fingers crossed, he'll be back next Wednesday. With me taking up and I'm sure at some point in the future we'll be calling on you again, Tyler. I hope you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
That's if Kaufman hasn't sent out the hit squad.
Not me. I am not involved in this. This was Craig Petty. Once again, let me say that clearly. Craig Petty.
So this podcast has been brought to you by Craig Petty and Tyler Lunsford. All decisions on content in the podcast were put forth by Tyler Lunsford and Craig Petty as a joint team, and everything that has been said or played musically in this podcast was decided on by Craig Petty and Tyler Lunsford.
No, no, let me just say, have a shit week and let me get out of here before this goes worse.
Go on, man.
Have a shit week, everyone.
Have a shit week. We'll see you again next week. Bye, Rom.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.